Ahead of his trip to Wrigley Field for opening day, I apologize. Darren Erstad stole some of your time, Burs.
Oh, that's all right. That's a good deal.
Hey, I do. He started talking a little bit about the memories at Buck Belcher Field, and I brought up some just obscure names like a Eddie Anderson or an Elvie Shepard who would talk about finding mouthpieces out in the outfield at Buck Belcher. But it is kind of interesting how, and I'm kind of leading you into some stories that you could share if you would like. You have a guy who was the best baseball player, wins a national championship as a punter, but coming from baseball, where I think I'm pretty sure in saying this, the baseball team and the football team back in your time at Nebraska in your first couple of years didn't necessarily see eye to eye.
That was, you had, you are correct. There was a discussion about who was what at dear old Nebraska between the baseball and football team. We weren't there yet. We were still the little baby-faced high school kids at that time. That happened before we got there, or I got there. But that's going to happen. Here you get some dudes that think they're good at stuff, or you get some guys that know they're good at stuff. And then eventually those two groups will meet, and they'll figure it out.
That was the Jeff Lesniewicz and James Garcia. And yeah, that was what, nine? That might have been, yeah, what, 92, I think, was the baseball-football fight. That
I think it was 91.
Was it 91? Because I've heard it talked about that T.O. had to come over to the baseball field during a game to resolve some things.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So the football team wasn't showing up to a baseball game like Matt Rhule would have his football players showing up to a fellow student-athletes event.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not necessarily as the group goes. I think there are a few individuals. One played offensive tackle. He's very skinny now. But he runs his mouth quite a bit. I mean, baseball dudes never lack confidence. They usually have a weapon that they participate in their game with. So,
hey, you have any good Erstad stories?
So Aaron Taylor and I would go watch Ersty play, and at the old Buck, you could sit across the street, and there was a little dirt patch, so we pulled Taylor's pickup in there, and we would sit in the bed, and, you know, we knew Ersty enough, we weren't, like, by any means best friends, but yeah, I don't even remember who they were playing, but, you know, left-handed, pretty, you know, swing, he hits one out to right, and so, as he touches second base, we think it's a good idea to start heckling him. Like, anybody can pull one. And so his foot hits second base, and he is now staring at us. He's pissed. Like, he's pissed. And so inning goes by, comes up again, and he goes Apo Taco into the bed of Taylor's truck. And as he touches second base, he goes, "How you like that one, fat ass?" And I was like, that pretty much do it right there. But no, Ersty's just awesome. I mean, the most competitive person, mm-hmm. almost to psychosis, which is really cool to be around. But understandably, like, for him to get into coaching, unbelievably frustrating. So just a great human being, lettered 16 times in high school. He probably didn't tell you that. Some say he's a better hockey player than he was a baseball player. Won the hurdles, North Dakota State. I'll be his PR team. But yeah, football, hockey, baseball, track, 16 letters, freshman year on.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
And many people doing that, boys. Yeah. I don't care where you live. No.
When you guys would interact with specialists, was he just one of those dudes that, yeah, you know what, we know he gets it. Like, you mentioned the competitiveness, you know, he's a two-sport athlete, he's, you know, pretty damn good at football as far as punting the football, but also even better at baseball. Is that one guy that, yeah, there was really no questioning him, or not saying that you questioned anybody on the team, but we know sometimes kickers and punters have a different schedule, have a different agenda. He was one of those guys that you kind of laid off, I'm assuming then?
Ersty, no. It was, everybody was equal opportunity. Like, there was no, Everybody got haze.
Okay.
We were in many, many ways, shapes, and forms a non-discriminatory organization. Like if you were in the building, you were getting it from somebody. So, and he can dish it as good as he is. He took it. So yeah, he's very sharp tongued, and you can go back and forth, and you'll cross the line, and you'll know you have gone too far.
Matt Verzal, join us. Hey, I want your reaction, and I kind of think how you operate. You might see this. So Ethan Piper the other day, and you know Ethan Piper has been here for a long time on that offensive line, and he had the quote. I think Nebraska's had a stigma of we went 3-9, 4-8, and it's like, oh, we're close. I don't know. I feel like we've been kind of babied or whatever. I'm just ready to rock and roll and see what we're made of. The word babied is getting a lot of run. What do you think he was implying?
That life was really easy up there. Like it was, it should, like to garner like success in something, you have to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. If you have a comfortable set of things, you're not going to achieve greatness. Like I told the story, you know, from Jamie Burrow about his brother Joe when he was at Ohio State and the de-starring thing that had to make a four-star recruit very uncomfortable. It seems to me like there's like a lot of, oh, buddy, we're close. It's okay, bud. We'll get it. You know, that crap. And now you're accountable. It's like, well, no, that's not reality. You know, like I said, you have guys that have done this before. All of your excuse or all of their, and I'll just use his term, but all of the babying does not exist. This is a man's game. It's played by grown men that are not right in the head. Not a single one of us are right in the head. So you can go out there and tell me you're close. And I can go out there and tell you, you know, I'm 6'4" and stunningly good looking, neither of which are true. There's no close in competition. There's a win and there's a loss. That's it. There's no almost there, there's there. There isn't close. You're either winning or you're losing. That's it. And if you view it every day, because you can't stay the same, you either got better or you got worse. That's it. But if you get better every day, and that's an adult thing. The adults now are telling them, hey, you have to get better every day. Then we'll see how good or bad we are at the game by the score on the scoreboard.
Isn't that also, so when people read that quote or they hear Ethan talking about that, they immediately go, well, that's how you were coached. Well, your position coach is the only guy that is back. But also, isn't that on the players a little bit? And don't you have guys that come to you and say, man, I know how you coach. But, hey, man, we need to, or I think it would be better for the group if you went at us a little bit harder. Isn't that also on the players themselves as a collection?
I don't think, from what I had heard, I don't think it's a matter of Coach Raiola being hard on him. I think he was hard on him. I think it's the end game of it. I think it was the end result. I think he was, I mean, it's still, many alignment up there has told me, like, he gets after our ass. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't care. Which is awesome. But then it's after the game is over and it's the spin at the podium and it's the spin in the news and it's the spin on the Twitter and all that BS. And you are 100% correct. And I've begged and I've asked and anybody to identify or notify me who is the alpha of alpha.
Yep.
Coach, player, administrator, anybody. You have to have an alpha of alphas that's going to say, we lost. This is not acceptable. If it's acceptable for you and you want to stay close, that door swings out. There's another one after that. Leave your fob at the door because we're done. But that's, like, those are the things that have to happen. There is no excuse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's no referee's fault. There's no, I missed an assignment. No, that's not reality. That's not how this game is played. It's played with discipline, it's played with honor, and it's played with code. And that's it. And it's not hard, but it's a grown-ass man's game. It ain't for little boys. So if you need to go be told you're good at something, not a baby, you're so close, buddy, you'll get it next time. Move away. Go out. because it isn't. I don't think that's how it's going to run no more.
Well, yeah, and to that point, Verz, you know, a lot of the takeaways yesterday were, you know, we talked about this a lot, attention to detail. We were bringing up a scene from practice with A.J. Allen and E.J. Barthel of just a simple drill and, you know, maybe not doing it right the first time. And, again, trying to hold guys accountable and a lot of little things like you've got Corey Campbell who's making sure that everybody's mouthpieces are in at all times. Guys making sure their jerseys are going beyond, you know, the back pad flap. You know, all kinds of different little things that seem to kind of signal to a bigger thing, which is having that attention to detail where it could matter in those situations. I mean, is that kind of what you were maybe seeing from some of the early impressions of practice right now?
Sadly, yes. I mean, that's no disrespect to anybody, but that's sad. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, to do things right, you know, you can't, oh God, that stuff just pisses me off. And then all the people on the internet are like, oh, he's being so hard on him. Right. All that crap. Just watch the game. Don't watch the Twitter. Don't watch the Facebook. Don't watch the Insta. Go watch the game. At the end, when that kid does better, it will work. Yep. And that's it.
It's amazing, but, that you...
Hey, boys, I got to roll. Yeah. Oh. I got to hit that at 9:20 or I got to get out.
All right. Thanks, Verz.
Yep, see you, all right, boys.
All right. Next time we talk to Verz, it'll be after Chicago. Opening day is Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can blame Darren Erstead. Erstead was telling stories, and we went too long.
It's good stories. And
they know each other, obviously.
And it kind of dovetailed into even better stories from Verz with that, without going into much detail.
Yes. All right. When we come back, we'll give our thoughts on what we think needs to happen tonight for Creighton to advance to the Elite Eight. The game will be carried right here on the Zone. We'll have the pregame at 6. Tip-off is around 8 o'clock, or 30 minutes after Alabama and San Diego State play. Alabama, which... UConn has made a case that they are the best through three games. Alabama hasn't played their third game yet, but Alabama has won a game by 21, and they've won a game by 22.
Hmm.
So,
yeah,
they play San Diego State first. I don't know that San Diego State has enough defense to slow down Alabama. It probably will be a very physical game. We'll see how long San Diego State hangs into it, because Alabama is loaded 1 through 5. Plus, you have a team that, rare to say, Texas, tough. Rodney Terry takes on Xavier down in Kansas City. Kansas City, will they be a pro-Texas town? I mean, Texas is there all the time.
Yeah.
I think it'll be slightly pro, but mostly because they're fans. Kansas City's not going to be rooting for Texas.
No.
The businesses are going to be rooting. Yeah, come on, spend some money.
The local fans, yeah. I don't think are going to be orange.
It'll be a good Houston turnout, too. I really do believe that.
And Houston, who... They're physical. They run teams off the three-point line. What does Miami thrive in? Yeah, that line is 7, 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I like that matchup for Miami. So two number ones are on the docket for today, but we'll give our thoughts on the Creighton-Princeton game when we return. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley at 1620 The Zone.